You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Well, welcome to Finishing Well. In today's show, the IRS's big barn strategy. You may be wondering what the IRS's big barn strategy is, but you know, I've come to understand, Hans, that if you have a lot of IRAs and, you know, ones that are not Roth IRAs and you've yet to pay the taxes on them, the IRS is kind of hoping that you just take the minimum distribution. And we'll get a lot more into that, but I want to read this parable that Jesus talked about, the big barn parable. And of course, the underlying spiritual principle is huge, and we'll cover that a little bit, but I really want to talk about it when it comes to this whole idea of IRA distribution. So in Luke 12, 16 through 21, Jesus told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and make bigger ones, and then I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who'll get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." And so as I've started to see what's happening since I've been talking with you, Hans, with certified financial planner Hans Scheil today. And interestingly, today's topic happens to be life insurance. And you may wonder, what in the world does that have to do with the big barn strategy? Well, as I watched in my own father's strategy, which I didn't know was his strategy, was to leave a large inheritance for all his kids. And so as his IRAs grew and grew, he thought that, oh, wow, look, I'll eat, drink, and be merry, and then I'm going to end up giving these huge IRAs to my kids, not realizing the tax implications of what that might have been. And so the IRS is kind of licking their chops the whole way as they see, you know, what will eventually be, you know, that taxes are going to have to be paid by that next generation, where a little bit different strategy would have laid up more of a kingdom treasure that, you know, possibly you could be giving part of that to the church, what you would have given to the IRS, and still leave your children the same size inheritance, right, Hans?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a strategy that we talk about a lot with IRAs and we study a lot is really called the stretch IRA. And it's so people have money, they have it accumulated in their IRA or their 401k, and they then pass away, the money goes to the named beneficiary, and then, which is typically is your children, and then your children receive the money as a beneficiary, and most of them want to cash it in. They need it now, so they're going to pay all the taxes at once. Whereas we're going to recommend in a lot of different is a little bit different strategy, is to slowly empty that IRA over your lifetime, pay the taxes a little bit at a time, which perhaps might be at a lower rate for you. Even if it's at a somewhat higher rate, you've got a remainder, I mean, whatever's left after taxes, and we're going to suggest that you use part of that to buy a life insurance policy, okay? And we do this. I'm not going to just suggest to everybody listening out there that you go implement this strategy. So this is not investment and financial planning advice for all over the phone. This is just talking about one of the strategies that we recommend for people that are really somewhat hoarding IRA money. Is that's the lion's share of their savings. They're doing everything they can to not withdraw from it, to let it accumulate, because right, they don't want to pay taxes.
Now that I can look back on it, I can see my dad saw those balances based on what the, you know, stock market was doing. They kept on growing and growing, and he thought, well, I'm doing something really, really good for my kids. And the strategy would seem to make sense, except it really didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, taxes are a lot better off, or receiving income a little bit at a time, year after year after year, which, by the way, your kids could do once they receive this money in a beneficiary IRA, and we could help them do it. But I'm just going to tell you, most of them don't, because when they're given a choice between $5,000 a year for 10 years or $50,000 right now, they're going to take the $50,000 right now. And then $20,000 of that's going to go right to the government. So all we're simply suggesting in a lot of cases is backing up for those of you that are in your 60s and 70s is, and you've got money sitting in there, you're just taking the minimum, you're in the early part of this accumulation with inside of an IRA, and you're really saving it because you want to give it to your kids. And you're not pulling it out, or perhaps you want to use it to pay for long-term care. And the bad news is if you either die and pass it to your kids, all the taxes are going to come due at once. Or you withdraw it to pay for long-term care, a bunch of taxes are going to be due to you all at once. So a more appropriate strategy is to pull money out of it, little bits, maybe more than you're doing now. Go ahead and pay the taxes year after year after year after year, and use a portion of what's left to buy a life insurance policy.
And Tom is also with us today. That's Hans's sidekick, Tom Griffin. Has to be. And Tom, you had mentioned that the first thing a lot of people are going to say when they're 70s and 80s, you know, what are you talking about, life insurance? I can't buy life insurance. But you've seen that on the other side with some of your clients.
Sure. Yeah, we get that a lot where people say, oh, I'm too sick to buy life insurance, and they just think that it's not something that they can qualify for, so why even look into it? Which, I mean, there are certain situations that people, they're right, they can't qualify for it, but a lot of people have this idea that they can't get it, which is just not, in fact, true. I mean, Hans here, we have a client, and he dealt with it more closely, but this guy, he came to us and had some health issues and was really worried about his wife because he had a pension that was going to run out when he died. He didn't have the survivor option on the pension. It was going to, the income was going to end when he passed away.
Guy was 77 years old, and he had some difficulty with his heart, managed well, and in the modern times, heart things aren't as serious as they were. They're still serious, but they're not as serious as they were 10 or 20 years ago. Type 2 diabetes under good control, and a few other things. And he just assumed at 77 years old, life insurance was not an option. I think somebody had told him that. And we managed to find him a policy, and it was fairly expensive, but expensive is relative. He had enough money out of this pension to pay for it, and it bought him a lot of peace of mind. And so what I would say is that if you hear something where you think that you would like to consider getting some life insurance, just understand that we have about 100 companies, different companies at our disposal. We're independent at Cardinal, and we do this for people all over the country all the time. And we do business with a lot of older folks. And he's certainly not the most difficult risk that we've gotten insured. I can think of another gentleman that's about the same age that actually got rejected by the same company we put the first one with. And what we did is we stacked two final expense policies. You remember him?
Yep.
Yep. And he was just thrilled. He didn't get as much insurance as he wanted, but he got about $60,000, where he got $35,000 on one and $25,000 on another. And his wife is substantially younger than him. It was over another pension deal. And so she's going to get a check for $60,000 when he passes away. The premium's affordable. And there are a lot of situations in our financial planning that come up that seniors need some amount of life insurance. And they need whole life because, I mean, sure, you know, Tom's just 27. He's got a one-year-old son. He doesn't need whole life. He needs term. Because if he was sold himself or we sold him whole life, he wouldn't buy as much as he needs. I mean, what Tom needs in the millions of life insurance, and that's very affordable for him in term insurance at his age. You know, me, I'm just turning 61. I don't need as much life insurance as Tom needs, but I need whole life because I don't know whether I'm going to live to 70 80, 90, or 100. And there needs to be, I certainly want a certain amount of life insurance there for my family just to create estate liquidity. I mean, there's nothing like a check coming in to pay some of the bills right after a person passes away.
Well, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that, you know, the IRS is essentially licking their chops about, you know, they're looking at those big barns. If, you know, somebody passes away with all this money in IRAs, et cetera, et cetera. But where they have never licked their chops, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But before that, we've got to remind you that you're listening to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com and his book, The Complete Cardinal Guide for Planning for and Living in Retirement, is available to you. Today's tab would be on the 7 Worries tab, life insurance. All you have to do is go there to cardinalguide.com and download that for absolute free. The PDF is available, or you can email Hans from the site and ask him for the entire book. And of course, if you don't have a chance to hear all this show and be able to hear about us like the IRS licking their chops when it comes to your tax money, then you want to tune into the second segment. You can go back and listen to the podcast by just simply telling Siri in your iPhone, "Hey Siri, I want to play the latest Finishing Well podcast." Or you can do the same thing with Alexa. So the podcasts are available if you don't get to hear the entire show today. But of course, we do want to get into that, which is fascinating. The IRS kind of licks their chops over the tax money they're going to get from IRAs and what, but the place they have never licked their chops, because they realize the advantage, you know, the real benefits of life insurance to society. Even back, Hans, you've got a tax return from the 20s, 1920.
After the break, I'm going to show you that. I have that in my book. And just the value, the government uses the tax code to really state what's important to them and to really try to manipulate us into doing things the way they want us to do it.
You know, we want to make sure that you're aware that all this is available to you anytime. You know, you have a particular question. Obviously, you got this expertise of Tom or Hans is just a phone call away. You go to cardinalguide.com and obviously email them, text them, whatever you want to do. They would love to talk to you. And again, this is what they do. They're fiduciary, so they're going to, right, work in the benefit of the customer, not in their best interest.
Listen, the book's available on Amazon as well. It's very inexpensive. If you don't want to tell us who you are by calling into our office. It also is available in a lot of libraries across the country and specifically here in North Carolina.
Yeah, what is it like if you get the Kindle edition, a whole $1.99?
It is.
And this ain't no thin book. I mean, it's really a wonder. And there's a book and a workbook. You can get both of them apparently for $3.98 if they're $1.99 a piece.
Yeah, and at our website, it has a link. If you want to buy the book, you can get it right through there. Or just send me a message. Say, "Hey, I listened to the show, Hans, and I'd like a copy of your book." We'll just send one right out to you.
We'll be right back.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well. Today we are talking about the IRS's big barn strategy based on Jesus's parable where, you know, essentially the spiritual lesson there is to be rich towards God. And as we're talking about life insurance today, you know, we don't want to miss the fact that how many churches are going to be thankful for life insurance this very day, do you think, Tom?
Lots. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to leave the church as either a partial or a full beneficiary or one of the missions or something as the receiver of this.
Wait a minute. I'm learning something. I like it when I learn something. So I could leave the church as a partial beneficiary on my life insurance?
Absolutely.
So you don't have to have just one beneficiary?
No, you can have multiple.
How many?
Multiple. And we have to put percentages. They all have to add up to 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
So you could take the church and say, I want 10% of my life insurance to go to the church. I want 20% to go to the Jesus Labor Law. Sure. Whatever the situation may be. I did not know that.
20% to go to my son and 20% to my daughter and 10% to my niece. We do it all the time. And we can even write separate policies. Sometimes people have some concern about somebody seeing what the other one got or that kind of thing. Well, then we can just write multiple policies. But we can do it all within one policy. We can even do that within one IRA if people are still stuck on. Right. I still suggest you keep your beneficiaries right on your IRA, even if, because there's some chance you're not going to have it completely emptied, even if you follow my strategies.
Right.
So this is a very godly thing to do, and life insurance is a very, it's gotten a bad rap, probably earned by the life insurance industry, but it really shouldn't have a bad rap. I mean, it's a wonderful product.
Oh, man. I mean, unfortunately, I know of a case right this minute of somebody that didn't have life insurance, and they're trying to figure out how to bury him, and you had that happen, Tom, right there where you were?
Yeah, we had a coworker. This has been several years back, but she was young, about 36, and was looking at getting life insurance for her and the father of her children. And things, you know, they were going to do the father first, do his life insurance first, and they had some difficulty. There was something that got caught up, and for whatever reason, it didn't get finished up, and in turn, hers never got done either. So it was something that was on her mind, but she never finished. Well, fast forward a couple months. She goes to the doctor, she gets diagnosed with cancer, and 3 months later she had died. And, you know, she's young with kids and had no life insurance and didn't have money to even pay for the burial. I mean, there was a GoFundMe account to help pay for the funeral. And, I mean, it just goes to speak that you never know when something's going to happen, and it's never too early to just plan for the what if. I mean, the whole reason that you buy life insurance is not to win financially or to somehow game the system to get more than you put in. It's really to protect your family if something happens that's unforeseen.
Yeah. This product, I mean, the government has recognized what a great product this is and how good it is for society. So much so when the income tax came out in like 1916 or 17, they right from the beginning excluded any life insurance death benefits as long as they're paid to a real person. Yeah, and I just, in my book that we talked about earlier on the show, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, on page 94 and 95, I have a copy of a 1926 tax return. And I'm going to tell you something that's kind of cool about this. The guy was a bookkeeper. He was a long before go relative of one of my associates. And he lived at the YMCA. Down in, I believe, Louisiana. And the instructions on a 1926 tax return are part of the two-page return. So the whole thing is two pages, and the instructions are a half of one page. And the very first thing on there, it says, death proceeds from life insurance policies are income tax-free. They're exempt from life insurance. So this has been in the tax code from the beginning. Another thing that I've noticed is that in my years, I've been in the life insurance business 43 years, most affluent to rich people, they've got loads of life insurance. So, I mean, what's really, where a lot of folks might be turned off by this, or they heard bad things about life insurance or life insurance companies, somehow that message didn't get to the rich folk. Because, I mean, they've just got this has tax advantages, and this isn't it. So that your beneficiary, the proceeds are going to be tax-free. But for you yourself, you can use life insurance while you're alive.
Well, it kind of shows, it speaks to, and I think it's worth opening up that can just a little bit, is that clearly, you know, from my standpoint, the tax code is pointing you towards protecting your family. And they do that with benefits to whole life where the income is actually protected.
The cash value buildup inside of a life insurance policy is tax deferred. And if it ultimately is left in there and is part of the death benefit, it'll be tax free to your beneficiaries. But you can borrow against it while you're still alive and not pay any taxes on the loan and then wait to pay off the loan till you die. And so that effectively makes it tax-free as well. I mean, there are lots of tax strategies around using life insurance, and they're there not because the government wants to create loopholes for rich people to avoid paying taxes. They're there because the government sees the value in this product and wants to have the tax code in such a way that encourages people to protect themselves and to protect the families. We're in the business of, we're fiduciaries to you when you hire us to do planning. It's our job to make the tax code work in the best possible way it can for you.
I guess the simpler message, if I could make it, you know, as simple as I know to make it, and I would not have known this, you know, these guys taught me everything I know about this. So, but if you have large amounts of IRA money that's on, you know, not Roth IRA, but traditional IRA money, and your current strategy is to take the minimum distribution because you want to leave as much as possible to your children, I would urge you to get up with Hans or Tom or somebody, not necessarily them, but talk to somebody about a life insurance strategy, because when I think about how much money got left on the table in my own family, had they done a better strategy when it came to IRA money? And so, you know, I know we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but I think it's worth repeating that, Hans, this is something where the IRS is literally licking their chops, hoping that you do it that way.
Absolutely. I mean, I've said it on earlier shows, you need to have a strategy with your IRA. And it's an observation of mine that most middle-income people, they have most of their wealth, financial wealth, in an IRA. Now, they may own land, and they may own businesses, and then some people hold a lot of money outside of an IRA. But I'm just talking about just people that are coming in, as a rule, that are middle and upper middle income people. It just, when we sit down and put on paper, let's say they've got $800,000 to their name, usually $700,000 of it is in qualified accounts or an IRA.
A 401k that was an IRA.
Or an IRA, or it's a 403b, or it's in something where they've never paid tax on that money. And they have a general, they've been accumulating. It's gotten up, like, way to go. Now we're in retirement. Now we got to have a strategy to get the money out of there. Now, whether we just spend it, that's one thing. We may pull it out, pay the tax, and then take the remainder and do something else with that, or invest it, or keep it, or put it somewhere else. We may not spend all of it. I would encourage you to go ahead and enjoy that and spend a little bit of it. My point is people hoard money and they're quicker to spend out of that $100,000 bucket, because they know they don't have to pay any taxes, when they really should be doing the opposite. You need a strategy over your lifetime to reduce that IRA balance. Go ahead and pay those taxes, and then accumulate assets outside of an IRA or outside of a taxable IRA. And life insurance is a great
solution. And let me just tell you another huge benefit that we haven't even talked about when it comes to life insurance, but I just experienced it, so I know all about it. There's this thing called probate. And no, that isn't a rubber worm that you throw out there as Carolina Rig. No, probate is what happens when you pass away, and all your money, IRA, you know, whatever, if there's no beneficiaries on it, it goes into probate. Life insurance passes, as does other things with beneficiaries, outside of probate. And so where my brothers and sisters are currently waiting to get their portion of what they're inheriting from my father, it will be months before probate's over. There's no way around it. However, the life insurance, you know, that was a matter of days, you know, that's going to take place, and that's going to happen and be there to help them in the time when they really need it, Hans.
Oh, it's just, it's wonderful. And I can think of other things as well. I mean, these days you have a lot of second marriages, and you have kids that yours, mine, and ours, or yours and mine, or, you know, after people get up there in years, they're pretty much all our kids. But, you know, it gets complicated when one of the spouses dies, and then how does all the money get distributed, and what do their wills look like? And life insurance is a wonderful way to pay off or pay the next generation and make sure everybody's included.
Right.
Even if it's for different amounts. just for what you just said. It's all settled. I mean, think about all the wrangling that can go on. And this is a quick probate with your dad. I mean, probate can go on for years. And then if there's ever going to be any bickering between your family, it gets started during that when everybody's speculating what's going on and what was said. Life insurance, it's just paid out. It's over and done with. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a product that really, as you see, unfortunately, in a time, you know, that obviously is difficult, but it's a time where you always talk about that all of a sudden here's this infusion of money to all sorts of people at a time that's, you know, clearly needed and not a point where you want to be worrying about money.
43 years in the business, I mean, I've had the pleasure of delivering a lot of life insurance checks to beneficiaries face-to-face, and it's truly a pleasure. I mean, it just people, I've had many people just start crying in place when they really look at that check and, you know, how quickly that it comes.
Right, and, you know, God's using that, believe me, to help build his next generation up, and, I mean, that's part of what's going on, and what do we get a chance to partner with him in? So, we're obviously, bathe all these things in prayer. We always want you to do that, but we also want to remind you that you can go to cardinalguide.com if you want advice from Hans, from Tom Griffith, his trusty sidekick, cardinalguide.com. And we thank you for listening today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by cardinalguide.com. Visit cardinalguide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to cardinalguide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's cardinalguide.com. Cardinalguide.com.